Hey everybody, this is Stelly Efti.
And this is Heaton Cha.
And in today's episode of the Startup Chat, I want to talk about an acronym I just learned recently, which is HUCA.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life, and hopefully while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit, we got it!
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
We want you to do your best.
So it's HUCA, and it stands for Hang Up, Call Again. And I feel like there's a lot of lessons that can be learned for founders and startups in that little philosophy and approach. And it's funny because I learned it from my co-founder, Thomas, who is the most... He's the most engineering mind I know. We call him AI, just to give you a sense for his like character, person. And we're still working on upgrading his human chip. But he's like a brilliant developer. He's not a sales guy. He's not like a super outgoing, hustling type of person. But he is a travel hacker. He travels a ton. He knows all that. Like he knows more about the travel industry and flight companies than most people that work in that industry. He can tell you all the little tricks, how to get all these flights, upgrades, everything for free, how to use points. It's insane. Like, he's really a genius when it comes to that. And so I had a problem recently with trying to rebook a flight. And I had to call, like, the airline hotline, whatever, and try to figure out if somebody could help me change some details on my flight. And I was Slacking with him and chatting with him. Hey, how do I approach this? Because I know he's so good at it. And he was like, well, what did the agent say? I'm like, the agent told me it can't be done. He's like, well, just HUCA. I'm like, what does that mean? He's like, just hang up, call again. It's like, he told me he typically does this 3 to 4 times before he gets an agent who can get done what he wants them to get done for them. And that blew my mind. And I talked to him about this afterwards, but the basic concept of saying when you talk to somebody at a company and they tell you they cannot help you or they cannot give you a solution, it doesn't mean there's no solution and nobody can help you. It just means you're talking to the wrong person. So just hang up and call again the same hotline. You get rerouted to another agent and you just try again. And he's like, typically at the, you know, sometimes it's with the first one, but at the worst, it took me 4 to 5 times. And the fifth time I got an agent that did the thing I wanted them to do. Whereas everybody else was telling him that it can't be done. And I don't know. I just, that hang up, call again metaphor to me feels like one that could be applied in many different areas. But I wanted to share this. I don't know if you knew about this, if you'd heard this, if I'm the only one that had never heard about this acronym before, but I thought it might make for a fun episode to chat a little bit about it.
Yeah, I've heard it before. This is especially important when you're talking to a call center. Right.
Yep,
And you have many different levels and different styles of people that might be on the other line. I think the interesting aspects of this are when you start applying it to your life in general.
Yes.
I think you'll see kids do this. So what kids do is they'll ask one parent something. That parent says no. And they'll go to the other parent as if they never asked that the first parent they asked, right?
Yeah.
And so I think they know the HUCA technique really, really well. And that's probably a good example of, you know, in life, what you can do, you know?
Yeah, I love that. I didn't make the connection to children until you brought it up, but it's brilliant. Because you're right, they'll ask both. But if there are more people available, you know, let's say there's like it's a birthday party and they want to do something, they ask, you know, the mom says no, they ask the dad says no, and they'll go to the grandfather, to an uncle, to the neighbor, they'll go to any adult until some adult says yes, right? And then they'll have their permission to go and do the thing. So they don't really care about that. You know, I was really thinking about this very much from a perspective of, you know, business development, sales, press, PR. Like we've talked about this quite a bit, even on the podcast, on like my life philosophy of like following up and following through and going again. But that's mostly following up with the same person, like, you know, or trying again with the same kind of person. But what I realized that I haven't talked a lot about is that sometimes when you deal with a company, approaching different people in that company to get what you want to get done is something that a lot of times people don't think about. And it's not that complicated, but they'll ping one writer. Let's take the press example. They'll ping one writer at a big publication. that writer will ping them back and say, sorry, not interested. Actually, yeah, not interested. And then they just think, oh, the publication rejected me. They are not interested. But they didn't have an all hands on deck meeting with every single employee at that publication, you know, looking at your proposal all together in unison, rejecting it. It was just one person that said no. Right. So you ping somebody else and they'll say yes. And I was wondering when I brought up the press example, I was like, as I was saying, let's take the PR example. I was thinking to myself, why am I choosing the PR example? And while I was speaking, I realized probably because I just did this. I'm a little bit hungover today, so I'll be slower than on the average episode. But we just had this with Forbes where I pitched a story to one person over long periods of time, follow up. And then eventually we started having a conversation and she, you know, rejected the story. And then we found somebody else and I reapproached the story with a little bit of a different angle because it was a different writer with a different focus. And that person just emailed me back this morning saying, yes, I'd love to write about this and was totally interested. So that's probably subconsciously why the PR thing popped up, because it's like, just because one person at a company says no or tells you that something can't be done or something isn't an interesting proposition for that organization doesn't mean that you cannot reapproach the org and find somebody else. Like, hang up, call again, try somebody else and see if that person is going to be a better fit or maybe more open to your suggestion or proposal. And I don't think that most of us think that way. Most of us think when somebody rejects us from company X, we have been rejected by that organization, by company X in general. We just leave it alone.
Yeah, it's really funny. I mean that I'm talking to you about this mainly because, like, you know, I've learned persistence from you. Mm. So it's like, hey, like, just be persistent. So I think Hookah is another sort of form of that. And, you know, it comes from that whole idea of if they won't give you the answer you want, keep going, you know, and keep asking people until they give you the answer you want. Or do the thing that you want them to do. And I think that the same applies to many aspects of life. The PR one is really great because that's such a common thing that happens with PR, that, like, people are inundated with stories and not every single person is going to be right to tell your story, basically, because that's what PR is, right? You're telling someone else's story if you're, like, writing or something like that. And so, yeah, I love that example. And I think it's really powerful. I wish I did it more, to be honest.
Man, I wish I did it more. Like, I'm doing this quite a bit in my life, but part of it is probably in my DNA, but a lot of it was also just, like, learned and practiced. But in this example, this is such a powerful example for me. It was so eye-opening because this was in a context where I would have never done that. Like, in the context of, like, calling a hotline, for instance, and asking an agent for help, I would never think to hang up and call again and talk to another agent about the same problem. I had never done that before. And to me, it was always like, if one, you know, service support agent told me, no, we can't do this, the policy is XYZ, sorry, I would just accept that, you know, which is hard to believe, but oftentimes I would just be like, oh, okay, and accept it. And when he told me that he would call 3 or 4 times until he gets an agent that can get the job done for him, I was like, holy shit, here's an area, a whole area in my life where, yeah, for the last 35 years, I could have solved so many problems if I was just a bit more persistent and if I didn't take a no for an answer in those kind of situations. And I was like, I always took no for an answer in that context, right? Different in sales, different in many other areas in my life. But that made me think, and I think this is going to be maybe the call to action for this short episode for people that are listening. It made me think or ask myself the question, what other areas in my life are blind spots where I could be a bit more persistent or just have a better attitude about not accepting the first no or not accepting whatever is given to me as truth or reality?